How many of you know who Chris Farley is? Okay, a decent amount of people. Chris Farley was an incredible comedic actor whose life was cut short at just 33 years old by drug poisoning. He died in 1997, which I realize we have grown adults who were born after 1997, and that's my own thing to deal with. But he was timeless and hilarious. You may remember him starring in such hits as Tommy Boy, Black Sheep, Beverly Hills Ninja. If you haven't seen any of these, go and find them on Netflix or Hulu or wherever they are. Chris told jokes with his body just as much as he told jokes with his voice. He had an incredible physicality to his comedy. He was agile and fearless. The things that he would do probably actually hurt, but he would just do anything for a laugh. And my most beloved character of Chris's was Matt Foley. In his years at Saturday Night Live, he developed this character called Matt Foley, who was a motivational speaker that was brought in to scare kids who were being naughty. He would jump and move and spit and break things as he introduced himself to the troubled teens. "My name is Matt Foley, and I'm a motivational speaker. I'm 33 years old and thrice divorced, and I live in a van down by the riverside." His speech was peppered with ways that unless these children change their ways, they would also end up in a van down by the riverside. I still can't see fancy camper vans without chuckling to myself and thinking, they live in a van down by the river. The stuff of Matt Foley's dreams. But this week, as I was reading our gospel, I saw some correlations between Matt Foley and our beloved Johnny B., John the Baptist. Both lived down by the river. Both proclaimed prophetic news that was not always welcome. Both told hard truths to people that did not want to hear. I'm not sure if John was as funny as Chris Farley, but it's kind of fun to consider it, isn't it? Like, look at through a different lens of the gospel. With his ridiculous outfits and his eating of locusts and honey, what if part of John's prophetic shtick was sarcasm and the devastating ways that comedy can unearth and reveal the most problematic issues in society? Powerful people whose power relies on the subjugation of others do not like it when someone stands up to them, but they really hate it if they're laughed at. So it makes a lot of sense. Thinking about the way that John's life ended with his head on a platter, that he may have made a laughingstock of those in power. John the Baptist was a prophetic, motivational voice who came to proclaim a whole new day in the Messiah, to make a way for a different kind of faithfulness, a different kind of life, all from the riverside. Our Isaiah text is motivational as well. Hebrew and English are very different languages, and in the Hebrew of our text, the commands that we see, comfort, speak, cry, prepare, all of them, they're all collaborative. They're plural subjects, which means they're commands to be toward the community. If it were in Texas rather than the ancient Middle East, it would sound something like this: y'all comfort, y'all speak, y'all prepare, y'all make way. In addition, the Hebrew word used in this text as comfort means to reverse one's mind or feelings, so it could be translated as change of mind or heart. So this is literally change and shift from anguish to peace. It's a whole new way of looking at comfort, isn't it? What if when you comforted someone, you thought, from anguish to peace? From disruption to joy. And all of this is a group project. The long-awaited Messiah is not a promise for the individual. It's a promise for everyone, everywhere, throughout time. It is much a promise to us sitting here in San Antonio, Texas, in 2023, as it was to those who came down come to the river to hear John proclaim that disturbing news. It makes sense then that the preparing, the welcoming, the proclaiming would be something that we do as a group. Jesus could have arrived in heavenly form and power and just commanded respect and attention, right? But instead, Jesus was born and gave himself to humanity in the most vulnerable way possible, as an infant who relies on others to survive. Disturbingly, the infant mortality rate in the first century was around 1/3, maybe more. So at least 1 in 3 babies did not make it to 1 year of age. Not fantastic odds. It was dangerous what Jesus did. Not only dangerous, but humbling in every way. Jesus was a child, a preteen. He walked to the community, a family, synagogue, neighborhood, place. He placed himself again and again in dependence upon and as a part of community. And he did it on purpose so that we might see the way to live and bring the reign of God. The Savior of the world's salvific acts was not just resurrection. Our minds are too small if all we do is go to the grand finale. Jesus draws us in to the saving work of God, step by step, by working together to bring love, peace, comfort, and prepare the way of the Spirit in every circumstance. So what we prepare for, what we're waiting for in this season of Advent, is not the power and domination of God, but collaboration and justice that is brought by us. And when we wait, we do so with humor. Because really, it's sort of like a joke that God is asking us to be a part of the saving of the world, to be part of the proclaiming of the good news. Spiritually, we might as well live in a van down by the riverside. I don't know about you, but I don't always do the greatest job of showing God's love and grace and peace in every moment. And yet God has called us, imperfect as we are, in sort of a comedic way, to proclaim God's reign, God's grace, God's life. We, human as we are, sinners as we are, bogged down by our own anxiety, our own grief, live together in community in order that people might know that God loves them. May you hear it this morning with your heart. May you live it with your life. May when you fall down, you feel it lifting you so that you might be a part of this proclamation from Isaiah to John to Matt Foley to us. God's kingdom comes. Comfort, prepare, make way. Live in love. Amen.